Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. Today is Friday, August 25th, 2023. This is edition number 144 of Season 8. As we continue looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith, we are in Chapter 25. Today we will consider paragraph number 4. Let's pray together first, and then we'll consider this paragraph together. Father, as we come to your word and we come to understand the matters that your word gives to us regarding your church, we pray for an increase of grace and understanding and strength, that you might show forth your mercy and kindness to us, that you, through the eternal Spirit, would teach us, open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and understand. We depend upon you to help us, that we might have this light to our path to guide our days. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we come to paragraph number 4 of chapter 25. We're continuing to talk about this Catholic visible church which Christ hath given, the ministry of the oracles and ordinances of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life. Now, we come to paragraph number 4 to deal with a matter of importance, of course, when we're talking about the church. What are we talking about in the sense of its purity? Since we do live in a fallen world, it's not likely, in fact, it's impossible that we're going to find a perfect church on earth. We're not going to find that in any way, shape, or form. And so some churches are more or less pure depending on certain parameters that are given to us in this fourth paragraph. So let me read paragraph number 4 of chapter 25. This Catholic Church hath been sometimes more, sometimes less visible, and particular churches which are members thereof are more or less pure, according as the doctrine of the gospel is taught and embraced, ordinances administered, and public worship performed, more or less purely in them. Now, what we should say right up front is that this paragraph is not permission, nor is it license to just run the church any way we want, and then we can argue, well, there's no perfect church on earth. Some churches are more pure, less pure than others, and what difference does it make as long as we're a church? Well, it does make a difference. We want to be obedient to what God has taught us and tells us in His Word. And so we should strive as a church to be as pure as is possible for sinners. Just like in our own spiritual walk and our growth and grace and the knowledge of Christ, we're never going to reach perfection in this life, but that doesn't mean that we should live imperfectly. That is to say that we should strive insofar as God enables us by His Spirit to walk as holy as is possible for sinners. And so the church must do the same. And so it begins by saying, this Catholic Church hath been sometimes more or sometimes less visible. Now, there are many examples of this. When you think of the medieval period of church history, when you think about that period between roughly 500 AD and 1500 AD, give or take, the church was somewhat less visible. Yes, there was Rome, and there was the Roman Catholic Church, but I think we know that in no way, shape, or form would we consider that a true legitimate branch of Christ's church, given their views of the doctrine of justification, their denouncement of the gospel itself. But even prior to that, even in the days of the Old Testament, when the prophets were laboring to bring God's word to the people, the church of old was very, very impure and almost non-existent in some periods. Think of the period of the exiles when the two tribes of Israel were taken captivity into Babylon. The church was very, very very small, very, in some sense, invisible. It wasn't absent, but it was less visible than other times. And Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, he says the following, verses 3 through 5. There we read, Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Now, of course, this is matters pertaining to Elijah, and certainly during that period of Elijah, he was a speaking prophet. He was not a writing prophet, but during that period, he probably felt very much alone. In fact, he says so. I'm alone. I'm the only one left, and God has to correct him and say, no, there's 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal, to idolatry. But the church was was less visible during that period. But there are times when the church is more visible than others, and depending on the season of life and in our history, it will be more evident or even more visible than others. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, we see an example of the church. It was more visible than the days of Elijah, particularly. Acts 9 and verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Now, these three regions that are mentioned are significant, that encompasses almost the entirety of the breadth and width of the nation of Israel. Pretty substantial compared to the days of Elijah, when it seemed like nobody desired to follow the Lord and walk in his ways. And so even in our own world today, we may have the opinion that the church is less visible today than it was in maybe days gone by. Maybe that's not your opinion. But the case, whatever the case may be, there are times in our history when the church is more or less visible. However, regardless of that fact, there will always be a church on earth. And we'll get to that later on as we deal with this particular matter. Now, paragraph 4 goes on to say, and particular churches, which are members thereof. Now, let me just explain that just really quick. Particular churches, that is to say, your church or my church, the church that I'm pastoring here in Evansville, Indiana. We are a particular church. We are a local body of believers, but we are connected to this Catholic church that we've already discuss. These particular churches, which are members thereof, are more or less pure. I can go around the city of Evansville and I can find more pure churches than my own, and I can find less pure churches than my own. And what's the rule that helps me ascertain that purity? Well, it's given to us here in this paragraph. According as the doctrine of the gospel is taught and embraced. Perhaps there's a church that's faithfully preaching Christ and Him crucified, but the people are not responding. They are walking in sensuality. They are walking in worldliness. They are walking according to the flesh. That doesn't mean it's not a church. It just means it's an unfaithful church. It's an impure church. The gospel's being preached. The gospel's being advanced. It's put before them, but the people are not responding. Think of the days of Jeremiah, the prophet. He preached the word of God. People did not respond. Are we saying there was no church? No, it was just less pure during that period. Also, ordinances administered and public worship performed more or less purely in them. Now, as you may know, I hold to the regulative principle of worship. We've talked about this in chapter 21, and I'm convinced by the authority of the Word of God that worship must be done according to the way God has ordered and commanded it in His Word. We are not to make up things. We are not to do all sorts of weird things in worship that God has not instituted in His Word, either by precept, command, or by good and necessary consequence. However, with that said, there are churches that are less pure in their worship. And there are churches that are more pure in their worship. There are also churches that are less pure in the way they administer the ordinances, that is the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that would include church discipline as well. Dr. Van Dixhorn, in his commentary, points that out very clearly when he makes reference to that the proper administration of the sacraments also includes church discipline is evident from the fact that the assembly here cites two scriptural passages that treat the subject of sin in churches. Now, one of those passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out that old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. And so, again, there are churches that are less pure, and depending on how they come to understanding of the Word of God and the various administration of the sacraments, the preaching of the Word, the gospel, as well as in its adherence, there are churches that are more pure in these matters and in these ways. And so we need to understand, of course, at the end of the day, when it comes to this paragraph, is that there will always be a church of God on earth. It may be less pure. It may be battered and bruised and beaten up. It may not be doing everything it ought to do and needs a lot of reforming and work. There are seven churches in Revelation that that we clearly see that their purity in some areas, but we see them less pure in other areas. Your church is like that. Your church has not arrived. It has not attained perfection yet. Neither is mine. And you know what? It never will. As long as they have me as the pastor, a sinner indeed, it'll never be the purest church it could be. But the same is true about you. You know the old joke, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Right, of course. There is no such thing as the perfect church. And so the church is sometimes less pure. And sometimes it is more pure, depending on how they work through the Word of God and apply it to the work of the church. Now again, as I said in the beginning, this doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want and then say, well, there's never going to be a perfect church, so who cares? No. We should strive to understand the mind of God as to how His church is run. And we should do those things as God has said. This is why there's differences of opinion. There's differences in understanding of things because people have come to different conclusions. I have come to a different conclusion than my Baptist brothers on matters pertaining to the eldership or to the matter of the sacraments of baptism. And that is rooted in my study and understanding of Scripture. I trust their view is rooted in a study and understanding of Scripture, and we just happen to disagree. It doesn't make them a less pure church necessarily. It does mean that we disagree over those matters. And so we need to be careful we don't become sectarians running around thinking we're the only perfect church in Evansville, the only perfect church in town. We do it better than everybody else. We need to be very careful that we don't turn into these kinds of people that think we're the only ones that God is using or blessing within the life of the church. Again, this does not mean we should not strive for the purity of the church. We should strive to be the most pure church on earth if, in fact, the Lord wills us to be just that. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Monday edition, when we consider paragraph number 5 of chapter 25, may the Lord help you today, and may you walk according to His will. God bless.